came to America when he was 6 months old. He started as a stock boy at the grocery store. Eventually, he owned it. He turned it into the biggest grocery store chain in New York City. He now owns a real estate company worth over $2 billion. He ran for mayor of New York City. He almost won. You can't make this story up. This is the Katz Roundtable with John Catsimatidis.
Everywhere around the world, they come to America.
Good morning, America. This is the Katz Roundtable. John Catsimatidis here Sunday morning. One great show again for you. We have Michael Whetley, the new chairman of the Republican National Committee. What's his plans? Gordon Chang, what's going on in the Far East? Governor Greg Abbott of Texas, protecting his citizens. Brian Kilmeade, Peter Michalos, live long and prosper. And let's start off with the former Speaker Newt Gingrich. What is today is the former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. Mr. Speaker, I'm going to ask you, last week was Easter. There's an attack on religion all over our country. And Callista, your wife, was the ambassador to the Vatican. So let's bring up that question first.
Well, look, I think the striking thing last week with Easter Sunday was that nobody in the Biden White House figured out that it was the worst possible day to issue a transgender proclamation. For virtually everybody who's Christian, Easter is the most important day of the year, and it's a very solemn celebration all over the world. For the Biden White House, either out of sloppiness or incompetence, to issue a resolution honoring transgenderism on Easter was just a remarkable assault, but it's typical of what's going on. It's like the FBI actually opening a file based on the idea that if you are Catholic who goes to Latin Mass, you could be a dangerous subversive. It's typical of what we're seeing across the whole system, where to be actively religious, whether you're Jewish or you're Christian, is totally unacceptable. It's acceptable to the elite if you're Muslim, because in a sense, among the elite, Muslim is a protected class. But it is totally unacceptable to be a devout Christian or a devout Jew.
And our country seems to be under attack in many ways. The fentanyl has not stopped, and it's killed over 100,000 Americans in just a year.
Well, the fact is, and Peter Schweitzer just wrote a very powerful book on this topic, you have a Chinese offensive using non-military means, crippling the United States, using TikTok to undermine our young people, pouring fentanyl into the country, encouraging illegal immigration, infiltrating our universities. All of these things are a long-term Chinese strategy to undermine and weaken America. I think that it's extraordinarily dangerous that we don't realize that this kind of offensive can ultimately defeat our country. And you're exactly right. Drug overdoses annually kill more people than were killed in 8 years of the Vietnam War. I mean, think about that. We have a wall in Washington of the Vietnam Memorial dead. If you had a similar wall for the number of people who died from fentanyl, it would basically run the whole length of the whole city.
Let's go international now. What the heck is going on in Israel? How do you see things? And also, we'll take up the Ukraine, too, and there's so much controversy about what really is going on with the Ukraine.
Well, I think you have two or three things going on at once. First of all, the Iranian dictatorship says publicly that its policy is death to America and death to Israel, and we seem confused about what that means. As a historian, I'm pretty sure I know what death to America means. It means they would like to destroy us as a country. And they fund a whole bunch of puppets who have been attacking and killing Americans. And the Biden administration is so pathetic, so oriented towards weakness and appeasement, that it is actually giving them money while they're killing Americans. That's one front. The Israelis have a very straightforward problem. The official policy of Hamas is not a single Jew will remain. Now, that's their official policy. They've verified it recently, and they have said publicly the first chance they get, there's going to be another attack like October 7th. The Israeli response has been to say, we're going to destroy Hamas. Biden, for reasons that are very puzzling, came out and said that Rafah, the last great city that Hamas is hiding in, that Rafah should basically be a sanctuary city for terrorism. If that happens, Israel will have lost the war, because if Hamas can regenerate and reorganize and recruit, they're going to be right back trying to kill Israel. And we have to understand that. This isn't a fight where there's a good negotiating position. I mean, if the other guy says not a single Jew will remain, should our bargaining plan be, well, could 10 stay or could 20 stay? I mean, it's crazy. The kind of terrorism that Hamas represents has to be decisively defeated and wiped out. And that's going to mean, now, you'll notice nobody calls on Hamas. You don't see Biden saying Hamas should release the hostages, Hamas should quit hiding behind civilians, you know, Hamas should agree to a ceasefire. The pressure is always on Israel, and the anti-Semitism inherent in that is stunning and a very dramatic change in the Democratic Party, which is rapidly becoming the anti-Semitic and anti-Israeli party.
Israel, I think, what I've been told privately is forbidden from attacking Iran, and the mullahs who are supplying the money to the Houthis and Hamases, and it's just crazy what's going on. And we're allowing the Houthis to shut down the Suez Canal and shut down the Red Sea, which increases the price of oil, increases the price of food.
Yeah, again, the most powerful navy in the world and the most powerful air force in the world are not being used to destroy the capacity of the Houthis. And they don't, you know, as long as the Iranians pay them and the Iranians keep giving them missiles, they don't suffer any great loss by having this happen. It's an infuriating situation.
There's so many things going on in Ukraine. Zelensky is stealing half the money that's going there, as one story. The other story is they need more arms because they are breaking Russia. The third story is, but they can break Russia, but not cross off over the border of Russia. Does anybody really know the truth?
Well, I'm not sure how you would define the truth. It's an objective fact that Putin launched a war. It's an objective fact that the Ukrainians fought when the American military, remember, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs said the Russians will be in Kyiv in 3 days. Well, they're not there. We were wrong, and the Russians were wrong. And the key question is, if Putin wins in Ukraine, does he stop or does he go after Poland, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania? And all the evidence is that if he could win in Ukraine, and I'm not sure he can, but if he could win in Ukraine, that he would continue to be an expansionist leader trying to rebuild the Soviet Empire, which is what he wants to do. So we have a big vested interest. I hope that the House this coming week is going to pass sufficient aid to Ukraine that they do not run out of artillery shells and they're able to compete with the Russians. And I think gradually they're actually wearing the Russians down. And the Ukrainians are getting much more sophisticated and much more capable. They recently bombed a factory 800 miles inside Russia with a drone. They have destroyed about one-third of the Russian Black Sea Fleet and really driven it totally away from the Ukrainian coast. We're seeing some places where there is hope, but if the West would rally and provide the equipment, and this is the key thing to remember, Ukrainians have not asked for troops. They've not asked for a single American to come to Ukraine. What they've said is, you give us the weapons, we'll get the job done. Well, I think in this case, it's deeply to our interest to not allow Putin to win. And I think it would be a very big long-term disaster if Putin does win.
Anything on your mind that you want to get off your chest?
Yeah, I think this coming week, we're going to see one more example of the total corruption of the New York system. The case that President Trump has been drug into is phony. The behavior of the judges, as the behavior of the Attorney General of New York and the District Attorney of Manhattan and the other judge who tried him, these people are all crazy. We were warned a long time ago that power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. I think we're seeing the most corrupt judicial system in American history in New York today, and I think that it calls for very dramatic reform.
You can't stop a competing president from running against you and also giving him a gag order so he can't even talk. This is worse than a third world country.
And you saw Robert F. Kennedy Jr. say on CNN that Biden is a greater threat to democracy than Trump, and that Biden's government is an active, serious threat to freedom in America.
And Biden will not even give Secret Service protection to Robert Kennedy, even though his father and uncle died by bullets from assassins.
I mean, you cannot imagine a crueler and more calculating act of viciousness than Biden saying, we are not going to let the Secret Service protect you, even though your father and your uncle were both assassinated. I mean, it's just, there's something sick about the Biden administration.
Mr. Speaker, thank you so much for coming on, and we'll catch up again real soon.
Always great to be with you.
You are listening to the Cats Roundtable. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Cats Roundtable. With us this morning is Michael Whatley, and he is the new Republican National Committee chairman for the whole country. Welcome, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to be with you this morning.
President Trump is, they're trying to block him in so many different ways. The joke I tell on radio is he's stuck with Barney Fife in Mayberry, North Carolina. It's not right that they're taking a former president and in this year's major contender against the current president and stop him like that. What are your thoughts?
Look, I come from North Carolina, live right down the street from Mayberry, and that's an unfair comparison to
I apologize.
Fife,
I've been using that for the last 3 months.
But the fact that they are using the courts in any way, shape that they can to try and take him out, it's legal lawfare, and it's unbelievable. It's something we've never seen in the United States before. Look, you know, I will defer to the president's attorneys when it comes to legal advice. What we're seeing is that it's not working in the polls. It is not dragging him down. The man compartmentalizes better than anyone I've ever seen, and he is absolutely focused on making sure that he is going to be in a place to win this election and fight for Americans every day.
Well, I know President Trump many, many years, and I understand it could be difficult sometimes. His heart, he loves America. And I know that. I know that for forever. And he'll never do anything bad for America. And the other thing I used to tell people on the radio while he was president, he has terrorized the terrorists. They respected him. Even North Korea respected him. Putin respected him. And some of the things have happened in the last 2 years with Ukraine, with Israel, would have never happened.
Yeah, look, peace through strength is more than just a pithy campaign slogan from Ronald Reagan. It's a reality, right? And when Donald Trump was president, we had a much stronger America and we had a much safer world. You think about all of the issues that we're seeing right now, whether it's Iran attacking Israel through its proxies, whether it's Russia in Ukraine, China licking its lips when they're thinking about Taiwan right now. That did not happen under Donald Trump. We need a strong America. We need America to be a leader in the world. And then the world is going to be a safer place again.
Michael, I did something wrong. I didn't tell people about who you are and what you do. Why didn't you tell us about yourself?
Look, I am excited to be the chair of the Republican National Committee. I think that we are going to be focusing on winning this election all day, every day. The last 5 years, I've served as the chair of the North Carolina Republican Party, one of our key swing states across the country. I've served as the general counsel for the RNC. We have a great candidate right now with Donald Trump. We're coming out of the primaries with our House candidates and our Senate candidates. We're going to field a really, really strong team for November. We just got to make sure that we do two things to win these elections. Number one, we got to get out the vote. Number two, we got to protect the ballot.
Number one, what are your plans of protecting the ballot? There's no way you can have enough lawyers on advance voting if it's too widespread.
Yeah, look, what we want to do is two things. First off, we want to make sure that every state has good rules of the road, right? So we're working with the legislatures, we're working with the boards of elections, the secretary of states, to make sure that the laws, the rules, the regulations that cover elections are where we need them to be. And if they're not, we're going to sue. So I've already filed as the general counsel of the RNC and now as the chair over 80 lawsuits around the country, 24 different states, to make sure that we have good, solid election rules that are going to be in place. Secondly, You have to be in the room. You got to have observers and attorneys in the room when the votes are being cast and when the votes are being counted. So we're in the process of recruiting tens of thousands of volunteers, thousands of attorneys all across the country, so that when we get into the election season, we're going to be in the room.
Mail-in ballots. Mm-hmm. Pennsylvania just fixed the law. I don't know if you're aware of it yet. There was a problem with the law where it didn't have to have signatures on it, didn't have to have a date on it, etc. That's going to help a great deal. I was with the former RNC chairman of Pennsylvania yesterday, and he believes that Pennsylvania is going to go GOP. Have you had a chance to talk to him?
I have, and you know, the big win that we had in court up in Pennsylvania, we're very excited about that, to make sure that we have rules in place, right? Because it is not unreasonable for you to say we're going to have votes that are going to be cast on Election Day and early votes that are going to come in by Election Day. It's not unreasonable to say you have to have signatures on absentee ballots. It's not unreasonable to say that you're going to have voter ID all across the country. We're going to fight for those things everywhere we go, and we're going to make sure that people are voting according to it, right? Some states you can ballot harvest. I want a ballot harvest. Some states you can vote early. We're going to have people voting early. Over 50% of all voters in the country are going to be voting before Election Day. We have to talk to them before they vote. We got to make sure that we have an early voting program in all of our states, not just the battlegrounds, but every state, where we're talking to the voters before they cast their vote, so they're making informed votes. Because when they do know the difference between Republicans and Democrats, we're going to win big.
I certainly believe you have on your side a lot of positives. I mean, the border has to be fixed. The fentanyl problem has to be fixed. The attack on our education system has to be fixed. Our international problems have to be fixed. How can we have the strongest Navy in the world and allow what's going on in the Red Sea? And just unbelievable.
There's never been a bigger contrast between two candidates, ever, in the history of our election cycle, right? I mean, the difference between Donald Trump and Joe Biden on everything that you just mentioned could not be a bigger gulf. What we need to do is make sure that the voters know it, right? And how do people vote? They vote by family. They talk about these things as a family. What are the issues that affect every American family? Security, safety, jobs, economy, education. Those are all issues where Republicans are listening to the voters. They're putting solutions on the table. And when we have educated voters go vote, they're going to vote Republican.
Michael Wheatley, thank you so much, and congratulations on being the RNC chair. And I must apologize. Is there a Mayberry, North Carolina?
It is Mount Airy, North Carolina.
It's not Mayberry.
Absolutely.
Okay, it was one of my favorite shows, and I still watch it to this day. At night, when I don't want to get involved in a two-hour movie, I'd rather watch a half hour of Bonnie Fife and Andy Griffith.
Absolutely. Mount Airy, North Carolina, they've got the Mayberry Museum.
Thank you so much, and we'll catch up again real soon.
Yes, sir. Take care.
The Cats Roundtable.
With us today is Gordon G. Chang, and you can find him on Twitter, at Gordon G. Chang. He is our expert in the Far East, China, Taiwan. Gordon, what's going on?
Well, China has pressured Taiwan with 30 airplanes intruding into Taiwan airspace, along with 9 naval vessels. This occurred immediately after President Biden had a phone call with Xi Jinping on Tuesday, where Biden talked about stable relations. Unfortunately, I don't think the Chinese leader saw the phone call in the same way. We now have China acting even more belligerently around Taiwan, and this is getting serious. The Chinese are actually even threatening World War III over the Philippines. China has been trying to take Second Thomas Shoal and other features away from Manila. The U.S. has reasserted that we'll defend Taiwan, Philippines, according to our mutual defense treaty. The Chinese are very upset about that as well. So we see China probing all along its periphery.
In Taiwan, the earthquake.
There was an earthquake on the east coast of Taiwan, 7.2 or 7.4 magnitude. 7.2 according to the Taiwanese authorities, 7.4 according to the U.S. Geological Survey. Fortunately, there were very few deaths. There's about 12 reported. There probably will be a few more. But that really is a testament to the new building codes in Taiwan. They had a horrible earthquake 25 years ago. They learned their lessons. And since then, buildings have been built to stricter standards, and that has prevented this earthquake, which was quite large on the Richter scale, from being much worse than it was. So that's good news.
We've all seen some of the buildings tilt over, like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Were they old buildings or new buildings under the new, if you know? If you don't, you don't.
I think some of them were new. They did not withstand a very big earthquake, which is understandable. But clearly, we have seen, throughout the island of Taiwan, the buildings have been constructed to much higher standards. And that is because the Taiwanese learned a lesson a quarter century ago with that horrible quake.
What have you heard about that phone call between President Biden and President Xi?
The readouts from Beijing and Washington are quite different. As to be expected, China emphasized what Xi Jinping said to Biden about Taiwan. As is traditional, Washington's readouts have been bland, talking about cooperation. But clearly right now there are problems because as the Biden administration continues to talk to China, the Chinese just continue to delay. They do not think that the Biden administration will impose the severe costs that are necessary. So they're continuing with belligerent action. This is not going in the right direction by any means. And also it occurs against the backdrop of China fueling proxy wars in Ukraine, North Africa, and of course, in Israel. So Beijing is disrupting the international system, and the U.S. is not taking adequate measures to contain this.
I understand Guam. Are there Chinese present there now?
Well, there have always been a lot of Chinese present. They come in through the Commonwealth of the Northern Marianas, which is just north of Guam. Guam is a sovereign U.S. territory, but the Chinese can come in through Saipan. In Saipan, they basically enter visa-free. And that gives them greater access to Guam, which is part of the United States. And we know that throughout the Pacific, Chinese migrants have been bringing crime with them. And it's not just normal crime. This is crime that the Communist Party likes because it destabilizes those societies, which have generally been friendly to the U.S. So China believes that it can take over the Pacific. And the United States, and this is not just a criticism of Biden, but also of his predecessors, that we've had a series of presidents who have ignored this important strategic area, and the Chinese have taken advantage of our being oblivious.
Well, we talked about China. We talked about the discussions. What other topic do we have left?
That would be North Korea. In the Security Council, Russia vetoed a continuation of UN's monitoring of sanctions against North Korea. There's something called the Panel of Experts, which twice a year reports on sanctions compliance. Russia, and this is the first time this has occurred, that a Panel of Experts report or continuation of the panel was stopped. And this is because Russia has been sending a lot of important weapons technology to North Korea. This is the result of the September meeting last year when Putin met Kim Jong-un near Vladivostok, and they made a deal. North Korea to supply weapons to Russia for use in Ukraine, and the Russians providing ballistic missile and perhaps other technology to the North Koreans.
Now, there was another report that there were Chinese weapons found in the Gaza area. Have you heard that at all?
Well, certainly, because China has been supplying Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Houthi militia with substantial quantities of weapons. So China is deeply involved in the conflict. It's supporting Iran to the hilt. So, for instance, Iran would not be able to afford its attack on Israel were it not for elevated purchases of Iranian oil. Last year, China purchased 90% of Iran's exports of crude oil, which gives you the extent of the support. And of course, China's been providing diplomatic and propaganda support, but as you point out, it's also weapons.
90% is quite a lot. Would you then call Iran, China is its protectorate because they need the oil?
I think they'd like the oil, of course, but they also want to remove the U.S. from the Middle East. They'd like to destroy Israel because it's democracy. And because it's a U.S. friend. So China has gone all in on this. Another oil statistic, which is important, is last year, China's volume of purchases of Iranian oil was 60% above its volume of purchases in 2017. 2017 is relevant because that was the last year before the Trump administration reimposed sanctions on the purchase of Iranian oil. So you can see the depth of China's support for Iran. And then, of course, there was the announcement of a 25-year, $400 billion strategic partnership between Tehran and Beijing. And so China is making investments in Iran that are supporting the regime and making sure that it is able to attack Israel and American friends.
Gordon G. Chang, thank you for giving the American people an update of what's going on in the East.
Thank you so much, John. I really appreciate it.
You are listening to the Katz Roundtable. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Katz Roundtable. If you ever miss a segment or want to hear it again, go to WABCRadio.com, go to podcasts, go to minicasts, and play back your favorite segment. With us today is Greg Abbott, the governor of the great state of Texas. And I usually play deep in the heart of Texas when I introduce you, Governor. You guys have done a phenomenal job in Texas protecting the people of Texas. Welcome to our show.
Oh, great to be on with you. Thank you so much.
Governor, you want to protect your constituents, and you want to protect and make sure they're safe. And you have squabbles with the federal government that wants the migrants to keep coming in. I've always said to President Biden, I believe in immigration, but it's got to be something like we had in Ellis Island where there's checks and balances. And we check people for diseases. We check people that we need in America. And we check and make sure they're not criminals. Tell us a little bit about what's going on in Texas.
Well, you know, first, as you were kind of pointing out, and that is Americans support legal immigration, not illegal immigration, and especially the type of illegal immigration that is allowed by Joe Biden, because this is chaotic, it's out of control, it's all-time record numbers. 4 years ago, we had the lowest illegal immigration in 45 years in the United States, and that's because policies were put in place to deny illegal entry. But Joe Biden came into office, he eliminated those policies, and he opened the entire border up to anybody to come in from across the entire world, and they've come from more than 150 different countries. And even worse is that prisons have been opened up in Venezuela. Inmates are coming from there to New York City, among other places, to commit crimes. And it's been extraordinarily dangerous and very dangerous also with regard to the number of known and unknown terrorists who are crossing our border. And so what Joe Biden has done, he has abandoned his responsibility as Commander-in-Chief of the United States. He's exposed all Americans to extraordinary danger, including people being raped. I'm sure maybe a lot of New Yorkers have heard about the illegal immigrants arrested in Boston who had been raping residents in the area. You know about the New York police officers assaulted by illegal immigrants in Times Square. And you know about Lincoln Riley, who was murdered in Athens, Georgia. And there's crimes like that taking place all the time. And that's exactly why Texas, we've had it. And we are not going to tolerate this illegal immigration. And that's why Texas is doing several things. Texas is the only state to build our own border wall. It's the exact same wall that President Trump put up. Second is that we have put these massive buoys in the water to deny the ability for people to cross across the border in the Rio Grande in the water. Second, we have erected well over 100 miles of razor wire barrier to deny illegal entry, actually repel more than 100,000 illegal immigrants who are trying to get into our country. And then if anybody does make it across the border illegally, we will arrest them and jail them and put them behind bars for illegally and criminally trespassing in the state of Texas. And I also signed the law where Texas is going to be able to enforce our own violations for immigration. And lastly, let me just tell you why we're doing this. And that is Congress has in place three laws that the president is not following. One law is to deny illegal entry by illegal immigrants. The second is to detain any illegal immigrant who does cross the border. And the third is to build border barriers. And the fact of the matter is, the Biden administration is doing none of those. And so Texas is merely stepping up and trying to enforce the laws passed by Congress, which are the laws of the land, to make sure that the state of Texas, at least, is doing everything possible to secure the border. And importantly, It's leading to massive results because there's been a massive decline in the number of people who are crossing the border into the state of Texas.
Well, Governor, well, you're keeping your eyes on your own borders. I guess they realize that you're keeping an eye on your own borders, and they're going and entering maybe in Arizona or New Mexico or in Southern California. When I came to an event you had in New York the other day, I met a few protesters, and I said to them, the governor is doing his job. He's protecting the people. He's protecting the people of Texas, which he's supposed to do, from people that are coming over, and who knows, that maybe 10% of them are violent criminals, and they seem to understand that.
And that's good that they understood that, because Americans are awakening to the fact that the sheer volume of people that Biden is allowing across the border is untenable. But also the fact of the matter is there really are very dangerous criminals who are coming across the border with the permission of Joe Biden. And Joe Biden is flying them to the state of New York, to the city of New York City, and is endangering the people here as well as other parts of the entire country. And Americans have had it. Americans want law and order. Americans deserve to be safe in their communities. And communities across the country are far more dangerous now because of Joe Biden's open border policies than they've ever been.
Now, Governor, I heard you the other day, you were talking about the statistics on the economic progress of Texas, and I was spellbound. Give our listeners some of those statistics.
The Texas economy is the fastest growing economy of any large state in the United States of America, and is growing so fast, there are only 7 countries in the world with an economy larger than Texas. There's the United States, China, India, Japan, the United Kingdom, Germany, and France. And pretty soon, Texas economy will be larger than France, and we will have the 7th largest economy in the entire world. And there's very simple reasons for that. And that's because Texas has no income tax. And in fact, we made an income tax unconstitutional in the state of Texas. We have easy regulations that cut through red tape so that Texas is able to move at the speed of business. And as they say in business, time is money. And we recognize that. But maybe the most important thing is that Texas truly does partner with our businesses, because we know that when businesses in Texas succeed, Texas succeeds. And that's exactly why the Texas model for business is far superior. It's why, candidly, there are businesses moving from New York to Texas, from California to Texas, from other places to Texas. And Texas is now home to more Fortune 500 company headquarters than any other state in the entire country.
The people in Florida have an expression, come on down. Does Texas have an expression yet for people up north?
Well, because we've actually had so many people come in from so many other states, what people in Texas are saying, they're saying, Governor, we want you to build that wall around the entire state of Texas so that we can prevent people from coming in from other places, because we really are being overrun by people from across the country. Last year, we had well over 450,000 people move to the state of Texas from other states. There's this U-Haul test. Texas ranks number one in the most one-way U-Haul trips from other states, states that people are abandoning and coming to the state of Texas.
Governor Abbott, thank you so much for coming on this morning, and God bless you. God bless America. Keep doing what you got to do and protect your citizens, and that's your duty, and thank you so much.
Well, dude, thank you. Look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thank you.
The Cats Roundtable.
With us today is Brian Kilmeade, one of the star reporters at Fox. When I was talking the other day to him, he had some revelations about TikTok. Brian, tell us about TikTok. I was really shocked all the statistics you had on it and what's really going on.
Well, a couple of things. I think you got to look into Senator Rand Paul and who's giving him money, because one of the main investors into TikTok in America is the number one investor to Rand Paul's campaign. So I'd like to hear an explanation on that, because I have no patience for people that don't put America first in our security. I don't care about competition. Nobody cares about competition. If TikTok's better than Instagram, have at it. The problem is, it's one thing and one thing only. It's Chinese owned. No Texas division or Texas project is going to eliminate, according to all the experts, the worry that everyone has that China is getting all of our material and can shape a news feed. And with 170 million users, as powerful as Fox News is, we are dwarfed by the size of TikTok. So if they decide to pump out, maybe that Russian war makes a lot of sense. The Ukrainians had that invasion coming to them, and the Iranians are not the aggressors. They should be able to sell their oil, but it won't be one big story. It'll be gradually gets warmer. And North Korea is not really a threat. And as far as we go, China goes, you know, we're not a threat. Any type of Taiwan, pro-Taiwan story gradually gets shadow banned. And then I start talking to the experts. I say, you know, what is the problem? And then they tell me that ByteDance has an editor-in-chief who's also the secretary of the Chinese Communist Party. He's embedded at the highest echelons of the company to control all of its products. He's tasked with, quote, this is the quote, making sure all of its products, including TikTok, adhere to correct political direction. That's why Huawei isn't here. It's not that we don't want competition. It's that the competition is not France and Norway. They're not looking to compete with us. They're looking to destroy us. And ByteDance, along with fentanyl, along with what we're seeing, in my view, these guys coming across with their roll of bags, along with what they're trying to do by buying into all these colleges, are trying to dominate America without firing a shot. That's why they get 300 votes in the House, John. It's nobody trying to beat up for, no one's trying to boost Facebook. No one cares about Instagram. No one cares about Google. That's nothing to do with this. It is about security. That's it. So sell the company, close the back door, and then take your millions, but you cannot own it because they're foreigners. Rupert Murdoch had to become a naturalized citizen to buy the Post.
That is phenomenal, and a lot of big contributions are going to Rand Paul, who was their biggest supporter. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. And you know,
now Rand Paul is also the one that is not going along with the AM radio. In other words, they want to do a joint thing on AM radio and keep AM radio alive. And I understand that some of the car companies have a phenomenal lobbying effort to make sure that it doesn't happen, that they can kill AM radio in their cars so they can charge $19.95 in their cars.
It's insidious. I know you've worked really hard on that, and I thought people understood that local radio matters to people, especially in a time when newspapers are collapsing. There is no local newspaper anymore. So it's vital, and that was proven on the highest level, and you did most of the work. Why would Senator Rand Paul stay in the way for freedom? It makes no sense. And that's why I thought it was pretty significant that his number one donor is the guy who also owns 30% of TikTok. Hey, it's a profitable investment. We're all for profit. But if you think America first and our national security, why doesn't it end there? You can make money so many different ways. And if you're honest, you don't go into the House or Senate to be rich. You go into service. It's legitimate service. $200,000 is not poverty, but being in two cities at the same time doesn't make it easy. But if you're there to get rich, I think you got the wrong focus. I never looked at Rand Paul like that. But he gets really offended when you challenge him on this. And not many people in his party can figure it out.
Brian Kilmeade, thank you so much for bringing us up to date. Keep doing that homework because we need to know. America needs to know the truth. Thank you so much.
And, John, the last person is billionaire Jeff Yass. He's the donor, the big investor in TikTok that's also a big investor in Rand Paul.
Got it. Thank you. We'll talk real soon.
Go get him, John. Thank you.
You are listening to the Cats Roundtable. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Cats Roundtable. With us today is Dr. Peter Michalos, a resident genius, excellent historian, and tells you how to live long and prosper. Dr. Michalos, what tips do you have for our listeners today?
Well, the first tip is stay away from doctors and operations, but all kidding aside, the importance of the basic things sometimes we have to start with them. The annual physical or the biannual physical is where it all starts in the healthcare system and how we interact with our doctor. And it's so important that you give a detailed history to your doctor, because many times if you've had other members in your family who've had certain diseases, it helps the doctor to hone in and try to figure out what's going on with your particular problem. And in the future, we're going to be having swabs of our cheeks and DNA testing. And before we even go to the doctor, they'll have a whole list of all the DNA tests that will tell the doctor things that you're at risk for. For example, on your own, you can order DNA tests now, and you can find out whether you have risk for clotting or thromboembolism or clots in your legs and veins called factor V Leiden. And that you can find out on your own. But if your doctor knows about that, he's going to make certain recommendations about how to change your life, whether you need to be on a baby aspirin or drinking more water or certain supplements to keep your blood thinner, like things like omega-3 and vitamin E and other things that they will discuss with you. Next thing is that during the physical exam, the doctor will start from head to toe. And one of the first places and the only place in the human body you can directly visualize human blood vessels is the eye. When your doctor looks in the back of the eye and they see narrowing of the blood vessels, they immediately get suspicious and ask, have you had high blood pressure? Because when your blood vessels are narrow, it means your body says, oh, wow, the pressure is high, I can't take it anymore, and the little tiny arteries get narrower. So that's a tip-off. And if you're a little bit older and you tell the doctor you've been having some chest pain once in a while, that narrowing that you see in the back of the eye can also mean that you might have some narrowing in the heart vessels. And I remember one person who I told, the next day they went and they ended up having a stent that week because they found narrowing in the heart arteries just from the eyes, even looking at the pupils. If one eye, for example, has a pupil much larger than the other and the person's having headaches, that can be a sign of aneurysm. I'll never forget when I was a resident, there was a woman who was pregnant. She had a big headache. One pupil was larger. So not only was she pregnant about to deliver, but she also had an aneurysm in her brain that was about to pop. Another thing when people look at the eyes is double vision. When someone says they have double vision, you always have to worry about strokes. And sometimes side-by-side double vision is sometimes one of the signs of also diabetes. And if a patient is telling you that they have blurry vision and they're urinating a lot, guess what? One of the first people who diagnoses diabetics is ophthalmologists, because people come in with blurry vision because the human lens swells when the blood sugar is up. It's called osmotic shift, and it causes blurring of vision. And because you have to get out all the extra sugar out of your blood, you have to urinate more because you need more water to carry out all that extra sugar. And that's why diabetics tend to urinate more. Going on to the physical, examining and listening to the heart, sometimes the doctor might even put the stethoscope to your neck. You can hear turbulence in the neck. That's a sign of a blockage in the neck, or something called carotid artery blockage. And that's another thing, listening to the heart valves are little valves that blood gets pumped forward. If one of those valves has a problem, you could actually hear the regurgitation, and then you'd go to the next step. In addition, during the physical, you feel the abdomen. You can actually feel for lumps, masses. Doctors can actually feel if you have a tumor sometimes in your belly, and that's all part of the physical. Then there's other things like the EKG, because the heart is basically an electrical pump muscle, and you can actually see whether there's something called ischemia, which is lack of blood flow, and that shows up on the EKG. And then you go on to other parts, including the stool test. And sometimes people get very uncomfortable, for example, with a rectal exam. But in a man, you can feel the prostate if it's enlarged. You can also sometimes feel tumors. And sometimes you do the simple test that the doctor does at the end called a guaiac stool test. And if you find blood that's not visible to the eye, that's a sign of possible colon cancer. And
Is there any things that are happening in the last year or two that have expanded more so than it did 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Because walking around talking to friends, so many more people have pancreatic cancer for some reason. Is there a large expansion of that? And so many people have problems with their prostate. I mean, what do you see in that? I mean, it seems like Go ahead.
No, I hear what you're saying, and definitely a lot of these cancers are on the rise, and life expectancy in the United States is down, and there's a lot of serious concerns that we live in a very toxic environment. A lot of our food has contaminants in it. A lot of microplastics have been found in people's urine and biopsies, which is absurd. You know, there's a lot of things. When you drive, when you know your tires wear down, but guess where all those microplastics, you're on the highway driving, a lot of that rubber, it's getting into the air. That's why I tell people when you're driving on the highway, don't drive with your windows down, and also change your cabin filters. After those fires we had in the Northeast, I told people change their cabin filters, and they were shocked to find the soot on there. I just changed my cabin filters last week, and there was all this black rubberized material, and that's tire rubber on the highway. We're breathing all these things in and all these toxins, and getting good, clean water. Think about how much we pay to try to get good, clean water. And also our skin is the largest organ, and it absorbs a lot of toxins, a lot of the products we use, a lot of the soaps that we use.
So we just have to be extra careful these days.
Yeah,
we got to be extra careful with the air we breathe. We got to be extra careful with the water we drink. We got to be extra careful.
Absolutely.
Overall.
That's why people who live in places like Ikaria, Greece, and Sardinia, where they have very clean water, clean food, clean olive oil, clean fish, those people are living much longer, and they don't have a sophisticated medical care. So it's going back to the basics, clean living, healthy living. Talk to your doctor, and the importance of the annual physical, ask a lot of questions, and go to your doctor with a list of questions that you have, and make sure you tell them everything, all the medicines you're on, not just the medicines, but even the vitamins and supplements you take, because they can also affect your health, especially things like before surgery, whether you're on vitamin E, ginkgo biloba, fish oil. Those things can also increase bleeding before surgery. So be honest with your doctor, and also do some research yourself about drug interactions on some of the medicines you take, and continue listening to our series on living longer and how to live long and prosper.
Dr. Peter Mihalos, thank you so much for informing all our listeners, and we'll catch up with you again real soon. Thank you so much.
Thanks for always getting the truth out and giving us the microphone to share information on keeping people healthy.
The Cats Roundtable.
If you ever miss a segment or want to hear it again, go to WABCradio.com, go to podcasts, go to minicast, and play back your favorite segment. Thank you for listening to the Cats Roundtable. Every Sunday morning, we'll bring you the latest in what's happening in our community, our country, and the world. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Have a nice Sunday.